WATB Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon-coming king awaits. This is a WATB disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you. Hello, Bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Welcome, my friends, to the Texas Power Hour with Pastor Carolyn Sism and friends. This radio show is an outreach ministry of Eastgate Ministries in Katy, Texas. Experience the power. Experience the glory with Pastor Carolyn Sism.
Show me the path of life in your presence is fullness of joy, and to like hand their pleasures for the Lord. So I'm asking God to hold my hand this year. That's my prayer going in. Lord, keep holding on to me no matter what may come down the road. Don't let me go.
Yes.
And each year which is set before us is a bright beginning. This morning when I came in, it was like, oh, I can't wait to get into 2018, 2017, I'm ready for you to go. But it just as each morning of every day is a bright new beginning. In the light and presence of the Lord, all the mistakes and missteps of our past are forgotten. Under His blood of no remembrance, let us forget our sins and the sins of others. I said, let us forget our sins.
And the sins of others.
And the sins of others.
Amen. That's the word.
If we bring up to another gossip, retail, the sins of others are going to fall on us. God had, if it's under the blood, leave it alone. Leave it alone anyway, unless that person comes to you and asks them to help you. Know your business. In faith, there is no fear of the future. In 2017, we saw the mighty right hand of God move across our nation and turn everything upside down. I started was preaching in 2016 that there was an overturning. That we were in the midst of an overturning. We were in the church. So we saw it going into 2017, an overturning. It seemed that everything that could be overshaken was shaken. There's more to be shaken. We saw Him not only move across our nation, but the nations of the earth. In Houston, the clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Your arrows also went abroad. The voice of your thunder was in the heaven, and the lightning lightened the world, and the earth trembled and shook. And it's still shaking. That's the reason why we've got to have God hold on to us.
Yes.
In the midst of the shaking. Everything that is not of God is going to be rooted out. We watched in awe the Lord's judgments upon the leaders in our national government. We sat there one by one falling as we watched God judge our clean spirits. We watched the overturning of wickedness in high places, and we do watch, and there will continue because there will be more. As I said, as I'm watching this doubt heavy that Shep gave, the evil maneuvers and the evil doers, the political maneuvers, and it's always been with us since the beginning of time. When Herod would send out his men to kill baby Jesus, when Pharaoh tried to kill all the babies that Moses was born, and so it is. This is in the earth. There's a time when God is going to clean out all that is wicked and all that is evil.
Amen.
And it is the prayers of the church. It is our prayers. It's our faithfulness. Our steadfastness. I'm not giving up. There is no defeat in Jesus.
Amen.
I learned in my journey of the path of life that we cannot fix or glue together what is broken in life. Don't try to fix people.
Amen.
Don't try to fix things that's meddling. The wicked must be rooted out and not covered over to protect your pride or even to protect those we love. Cover over our wickedness. We cannot rescue our loved ones from the demons of their own folly. As a preacher, I can teach and I can guide. And I can tell them what the Lord says, and I can tell them the Lord's ways. But it is that you will have to resist Satan so that he will quit from him. You know, I can pray for you that you will be strong enough that you can resist Satan and he will quit from you. But in the end, you're the one who's going to have to do it. We must allow each generation to resist and overcome their own demons, just as we must overcome our demons. And every generation has a different set of demons to overcome. We think times are getting worse and worse, as they are. The demons are being sent to that generation, the things we didn't have to deal with. But that generation is being born upon the earth now. They're going to have to overcome the demons of their generation.
Amen.
And each of us must become strong enough so that we can resist Satan and he will flee from us. The Bible says he will flee from you. The Bible says he will flee from you.
Yes.
What you have to do, you have to resist him. And if he has no power over you, there's a realm in the Spirit of God where you can walk in, where his arrows won't touch you. Where no matter how much evil maneuvers and what he calls out against you, it's not going to touch you. Then you're going to have to flee from you. Psalm 39:3. Lord, you encompass my path and my line down, and your acquaintance on my way. There's nothing that you're doing that you might think you're hiding it because of your pride. I'm not talking to this group, I'm talking to people on the internet. That you might be hiding something that so people will think you're a good person. But God sees it all, and it really doesn't matter what people think about you.
Amen.
Amen.
And all that concerns us concerns him. On our path of destiny in Christ, there will be enemies, false accusations, trials, unfairness, tribulation, life and death. People are going to treat you badly.
Yes.
That would deal with evil maneuvers and evildoers. But as we continue following wholly after the Lord, we will become stronger in faith, courage, righteousness, and love. And none of that stuff is going to touch you. There is a realm of the Spirit where it can't touch you. And when I say it can't touch you, it can't affect your soul.
Yes.
Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. But if you're walking and living in this realm of the Spirit, it can't touch your soul because your soul has been taken over. The Lord will always make his own promise true. He will always make his own promise true. There is a condition. We have to walk in the path that he has set before us. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. If going forth is prepared as the morning. New every morning. It is his going forth that we want to go into in 2018.
Yes.
I want to go forth in his going forth.
Amen.
I don't need him to come over here and rearrange himself for my going forth.
Amen.
I want to be in the middle of his going forth. It's the reason why I'm saying, God, take hold of my hand and don't let me go. Let me go forth in your going forth. Today I find our gospel heroes in the story of the three wise men, who had such a passion and desire to see the Lord that they followed on until they found him. The wise men knew the God of heaven was speaking to them and guiding them by his own star. The star was a strange, silent messenger which was sent to tell of the great sunrise on the Hebrew mountain. The star was sent to the country's farthest to Palestine and Jordan. And there lived a number of men called the Magi. They were greatly esteemed in the courts of royal kings. Daniel, a faithful servant of the true God, was known as chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. And I believe that these wise men are a fruit of David, of Daniel's life, where he was deposited in Babylon, and he worked with these wise men, and they knew the scriptures and the word of God through Daniel. That's what I believe. Many of them, however, were fire worshipers. They worshiped the sun, the moon, and the host of heaven. But they had their watchtowers. towers corresponding to our conservatories along the banks of the Tigris and other eastern rivers. One night, some of these magi, as they looked up to the firmament, observed a new star, brighter than the rest. Along with many others in eastern countries, they were expecting the coming of a great king who was to rule over the whole world. In ancient times, and you know, God told us he will give us signs in heaven and signs on earth. So, it is good for us to look to the sky when the God is getting ready to move upon the earth, because there will be signs. And otherwise, we can't explain this brilliant star. But they believed that whenever a very brilliant star appeared, people thought some illustrious prince or warrior was about to be born. Perhaps these stargazers were familiar with Hebrew scripture, which I believe they were. I believe Daniel left. And if they begin to study, a person who is studied, they will study everything they get their hands on. Believe me, I know. I've been reading ever since I remember. Always pressing in. Always, because there's more of God. There's always more of God.
Amen.
And God will place that in you. And you'll always press in. There's more. There's more. There's more. Okay, but they would know the scripture that 1,400 years before, a famous prophet / sorcerer, which means God can use anyone, in their own country called Balaam, and stood on the top of one of the great hills of Moab, looked across to the green hills of the land of promise. He said a star was one day come out of Jacob or Judah. And when the Magi saw the new bright light in the heavens, they said to one another, "Surely this is Balaam's star," which he saw when Balak and his princes from the top of the rocks. "We shall follow the guiding sign. God has surely hung it like a bright silver lamp in the sky to bring us to this royal palace." How would these heathen kings know about the star if they didn't have the Holy Word of God? And how could their faith be so strong that they could recognize the star that was spoken of by one of their prophets 1,400 years ago? Only God.
Amen. Only God.
So do you worry that you're going to miss God, or God's going to miss you? Are you concerned that God will miss you in all that he had planned and put together? I don't think so.
Amen.
He found these magi over there by some river, looking up in the sky, and he showed them the star that Balaam had prophesied 1,400 years before. And they said, this is it.
That's it.
This is it. I don't think God's going to miss you.
Amen.
But I said they were on his path for what they were born to do. We don't hear of it anymore after this story. But they're part of the Christmas story that's played over and over in heaven, we just found out, eternally. They put on their best robes, prepared their gifts for a king, mounted their camels, and traveled far distance through the sandy desert until they came to Jerusalem. The strange star was all the while lighting up the path. St. John Chrysostom, he lived in 349-407, compares it to the pillar of fire which preceded the Israelites through the wilderness of Sinai. But do not doubt, church. You are in a time when God is moving so powerfully upon the earth, and you are born, and you are following holy after. I just heard an angel or the Holy Spirit one tell me back there. I was saying, tell them they have done well in 2017. Tell them I am pleased with them.
Amen.
Tell them they have followed what I have called them to do in 2017.
flowing winter streams.
Elijah would have to climb the mountain passes of Moab and Gilead. And they were men on a divine mission, driven by a divine passion. And inside of each one of us, when we're on God's path, our path of life that He's called us to, we're on a divine mission driven by a divine passion.
Yes.
I can promise you that my whole life has been following one passion. And I'm standing in it.
Amen.
When they reached Jerusalem, they asked where He was to be found who was born King of the Jews. We have seen His star in the east, and we have come to worship Him. The Holy Scripture does not give us a full account of their searching, but it appears that they may have asked the people of the shops and streets, because the Word of God does say that when Herod heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, which means they did not go direct to Herod. He heard that.
Amen.
Surely the Magi must have been very trusting and simple in their faith. They might naturally have expected all Jerusalem to be ringing with the news about the young king, that the glorious tidings would be on every lip. No one seemed to know or to care anything about the matter. See, the earth is in the same place today. You know. He's alive in you. You know the Christ child. You know the King of Kings. You know the Lord of Lords. Oh, but there are masses of people out there that do not care about the matter.
Amen.
They start again all alone in the direction of Bethlehem. They knew that God of heaven was speaking to them and guiding them by His own star. Again, I say, the Lord made His own promise true. Then shall we know if we follow on. John Ross picked up tells a story of a curious tradition on one of his visits to Israel. Halfway between Jerusalem and Bethlehem, he stopped at a well. He says he does not tell the story as true because it's not in the Bible. It's a tradition. It's not in the Holy Scripture. But he does tell it. But he says the Christians of Bethlehem believe the tradition. And they told it to him. These wise men are losing sight of the star, because see, when they got to Jerusalem, that makes sense, but they lost sight, because they were inquiring, where is this child? When they got to Jerusalem, who is King of the Jews? But when they lost sight of it, which had hitherto guided them from their own country to Jerusalem, they were greatly vexed. For they did not know whether the road they pursued was the right one. They seated themselves by the brink of this well. He didn't tell me which well, just this well. But in stooping over it to get a drink for themselves and their camels, they saw the missing star reflected low down in the water. And in looking up to the sky above them, there was. They rose with glad hearts and followed the silent guide in its silver path. It passed right over the quivering palms of the gate of Bethlehem and over the flat roof of many of the houses until it stood over the houses where the young child lay. Now I want to mention a prophetic action that is going on in Bethlehem during this Christmas season. The Christians are not allowed to worship or celebrate Christmas this year. They are being persecuted because Donald Trump moved our embassy to Jerusalem. The Christians are under persecution this Christmas in Bethlehem. This is a sign. This is a sign of the times. This is a sign of the movement of God. They unloaded their beast of burdens, taking out the valuable things they had brought with them, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gold from the mines of Ophir, or from the beds of their rivers, frankincense and myrrh. Jars of fragrant gums and precious oils. resin extracted from the trees of Arabia or India, something perhaps resembling the attar of roses, sold in all the bazaars of Asia. So last night I looked at a tar of roses, and I felt like Carol probably knows about this special oil. And I thought, well, we're going to have to have that little miracle service around here. I'm going to have to ask Carol. She knows about that special oil that is called the tar of roses in her oil collection.
Oh, that's true. I know she has a special rose oil, and it helped her mom in her passing. Everyone was amazed that her mom in her last days didn't have any pain of the drugs they gave to help her pain. The rose would be a special one.
Okay, well, we should go get us some of this tar roses, and we're going to have a healing service. Praise God. You see why I search and discover? I discover all kinds of things. If we search, the Bible says that we're to search out, and we're to take treasures out of the old and in the new. There's some people that if you're not preaching the exact new thing, well, let me tell you, there are treasures in the old. And we lose them if we don't bring them into the present. Tradition, also, we're back to tradition, has given names to these wise men. And we don't know their names because the Bible doesn't tell us. But I can tell you that every ancient literature that I read, going back to whoever wrote in the 10s and the 100s and the 200s and the 300s, and I've gone back and I've read as much as I get my hands on, they all mention them by these names. So I think it's worthy of mention, even though the Bible does not tell us. One was Melchior, and I'm probably not saying it right, an old man with a silver beard. Another, Belshazzar, in full-grown manhood. And the third, Caspar, a youth. These wealthy kings, Magi, wise men, enter this lowly abode in the city of David and find a humble man and woman sitting over a little baby. They struggle with their presence. Psalm 72:10. The kings of Tarshish and of the Isles shall bring presents. The king of Sabu and Sheba shall offer gifts. This is a psalm. I looked it up last night. I tried to put it on the internet. I myself have never heard it, but it's a classic. So I'm sure all of you know it. I'm not going to sing it. But I will read it to you. And the name of it is Saw You Never in the Twilight. Saw you never in the twilight when the sun had left the skies. Up in heaven, the clear stars shining through the gloom like silver eyes. So of all the guys who had been watching saw a little stranger star. And they knew the king was given, and they followed it from far. You have listened to the story, how they crossed the desert wild, journeyed on the plains and mountains till they found the holy child. You may also seek his cradle, there your heart's best treasure bring, love and faith and true devotion for your Savior, God, and King, written by Cecil Francis Alexander in 1853. The infant Jesus had a variety of worshippers to welcome him to earth. First, the bright angels sent to the plains of Bethlehem to tell the heavenly palace he had left. Two, the beautiful star in the deep blue above, telling of the worship of the heaven of the stars. Simeon and Anna telling that gray-haired age was not ashamed to come and welcome an infant of days as their Lord and Savior. There were the wise men of the East, Oriental princes, reminding of the rich and the great and the noble and the learned. And there were the shepherds from the hills of Judah, telling how he came to befriend the poor, the simple, and the unlearned. All unite in declaring the Son of Righteousness, who has risen with healing in his beams, is like his type and image in the sky. He He does shine a light on all of us. He's not going to let you go. Now you can bail out. You can go off course. You can abandon ship. You can say, this thing's too hard for me. The desert's too long. The mountains are too high. The water's too deep. The fire is too hot. And you can bail out. But he's not going to bail out on you. He went all the way to Babylon, got these three kings, gave them a message that was written 1400 years ago, and he sent them to Jerusalem. And you think he's going to bail out on you?
No way.
He says, I am the star of Bethlehem. I am the golden lamp of the temple of Jerusalem. I am the light of Israel. I am. And how kind it was of Jesus to come in the form of a little child. He might have descended to earth, and even that brought forth prophecy. It was almost this identical word that you brought forth prophecy when you were interpreting the prophet earlier. He might have descended to earth all at once, like the fabled gods of the heathen, in the fullness and strength of perfect manhood. The light of the world might have no day spring, no early dawn, no streaks in the eastern sky. He might have blazed forth suddenly in the brightness and luster of his dazzling noontime glory. The youngest may be able to say, Jesus was once as I am. Jesus knows my heart sores and heartaches, for he was once himself a feeble child, the holy child Jesus. He chose to come to us as a child. The Bible tells us that King Herod was very angry when the wise men did not return to him and tell him where the Christ child was. For they had been warned in a dream not to return to Jerusalem, but to go a distant route, another route. King Herod built what is now known as Herod's Temple for the perpetuation of his name. And we know that Herod's temple was destroyed 70 years after Jesus' ministry on earth. History tells us, not the Bible, that he was very handsome, extremely handsome, highly educated. He was a man who quested after knowledge. And he owned many palaces. One in Jerusalem, another at Jericho, another half palace, half fortress on a mountain in Arabia, Jebel Farudis, which means mountain of paradise, now called Herodium. This is the only place in Israel that is today named after King Herod. Herod was an Edomite, and as such, he had no right to the crown of Judah. So this would cause the birth of this child, a Jewish child, even to be a greater threat to him. Herod was passionately fond of art. No single king, with the exception of Solomon, had more numerous or more splendid cities, towers, theaters, and temples than he. That he sold himself to work iniquity. That he sold himself to work iniquity. There is sin and there is iniquity. He became like a savage wild beast in his old age. At the early age of 18, he drowned his brother-in-law, the Jewish high priest. He killed his wife, three sons and uncle, as well as other nobles, friends, and many of his people. When news reached the wicked old king that angels had been heard singing in the sky about a little child born in Bethlehem, still more when he heard about this bright silver lamp that had been hung in the heavens guiding the wise men, he became very troubled and angry. It is recorded in the Jewish Talmud that he gave instructions to have all the records of Jewish families destroyed, the registers of family births and family names which were kept in the temple. He gave orders that all the male children in Bethlehem under 2 years of age be slain with the sword. The cruel order is not confined to the town of Bethlehem. It is extended, which is what is called in the Gospel of St. Matthew, its coast. We know around the throne of God in heaven, 10,000 children stand, whose sins are all through Christ forgiven, a holy and man, singing glory, glory, glory. These babies, we don't know how many there were martyrs to the cause of Jesus' birth. They were martyrs to the cause of Jesus' birth. Satan fought hard, but he could not do it. He could not win. The Lord would not allow Satan to destroy the Lamb of God. An angel appeared to Joseph one night and was asleep and dreaming. He told Joseph, "Rise up from your couch. Do not wait another day. Take Mary and her young child, for Herod is seeking the infant's life. And never stop until you come to the land of Egypt. Remain there until I bring you word from God that it is safe to return." Egypt has always been for the Jews a place where they could go when they were in danger or on food. It has always been for Egypt that they fled for shelter and safety. They always took the Jews in. For this reason, and we know now that it's a Muslim nation, but for this reason, I believe, this is just Carol talking, I'm not going to have the word of the Lord about it, that Egypt will be one of the chief nations.
Amen.
When the nations are separated, with the chief nations on the right, the other nations on the left. I gave the word, I probably shared this last week, but I just got month in the last week, so I don't remember what I said last week. I live a month, and I get as much out of the week, and I sure got a lot out last week. But I gave the word, I think it was at Wednesday night prayer or somewhere, anybody paid it to me. I did, because Joanne said, "I wonder which nations are going to stand with us about when they were voting to with their resolution, which doesn't mean against our decision to put our embassy in Jerusalem. I wonder which nations are going to stay with us." And out of my voice, it just wrote, "It will be a separation of the sheep and goat nation." And it came forth by the Spirit.
That's good.
So I believe the separation has begun. But you know, even with all that Egypt did, they still have to be weighed in the balance in every year. But let me tell you, church, I heard standing right back there, and he was so pleased with you.
Amen. Amen.
And he is so pleased
with you. Amen.
And I don't even know what all you did right, but you did something right.
Praise God.
Let's keep it going. 2018, we stand at the gate of another year. And there's not one way through it. And that's the path of the Lord. Because times are getting, we're getting toward closer and closer to the second coming.
Yes.
And we know that tribulation, and it's everything's going to accelerate, and we're watching it. But you're safe here. God keeps putting us in a safe place.
Amen.
It's like we're in safety. Because whatever God has called us to do, he is keeping us to do it.
Amen.
Just like the shepherds. Just like the wise men. Mm-hmm. What you have been set apart to do, you're going to do.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.